Let's go ahead and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Word of God. And we thank you that it is our food from heaven. And so today, Father, as we partake of it, I pray that your anointing will be upon every ear that hears and upon my lips that speak. And much revelation or insight can come forth if they're both in tune with you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. So if you have your Bibles, and you better have them, open up to Romans chapter 8. I think Romans chapter 8 is a wonderful chapter. We cover it a lot in it by His Word. If you guys haven't noticed that by now, praise God. But there's one verse I want us to look at that's very important. And that is verse 14. Verse 14. And there's a reason I had you go there. Verse 14, it says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God." Now, this particular verse is very interesting. Most of the time we've read that verse, and what I thought was very interesting is when people read this verse, especially me, at the very beginning, I was only reading it from one perspective. And that was that if I am going to follow a leading of the Spirit of God, I've got to be able to hear Him. Amen? But, you know, this verse cannot be pulled out of its setting. What I mean by that is it's in the middle of a context. And this verse only has value if it remains in its setting. But if you pull it out, then it only has one meaning. But if you leave it in its setting, it has another meaning. And this particular verse was the verse that a particular individual God had led me to as a mentor. And that's been my whole story of my whole life, is that God leads me to my teachers, my fathers, my instructors. I have not ever gone to a place. Well, I shouldn't say that. That would kind of be a lie. But I've gone to places where I did not belong. I knew it right away just by what doctrine was being preached and what was happening or taking place. And so you learn after a few of them visitations that you need God to lead you to your teachers, those who can give you instruction. And God gave me this verse, "For as many as are led by Spirit," the word "the," which is the article, is really not in that verse. This verse is a statement. And it's not just saying those that are led by the Spirit of God are the ones that can hear Him. That's only one part of it. That's only one part of it. But there's a twofold application here concerning this statement. Not just one, but two. First of all, the word "led" is very interesting because here it indicates that those who are led by Spirit are mature sons. And when I caught that, weos, meaning mature, I begin to realize that when we're immature, there's a possibility that we're not being led by the Spirit of God. And I could not figure out why. Is that my... Okay. I couldn't figure out why The second part had not been captured. How many of you know that Mark chapter 4 talks about being able to hear the Word of God? Well, when I was reading this verse, it finally dawned on me that this verse is not only referring to being able to hear Him, but it's also referring to be able to hear Him because you have been brought to maturity to hear His voice. Now, when I first saw that it meant being able to hear Him, it never dawned on me that being led by the Spirit, therefore, is twofold. First, it is receiving instructions from God. And secondly, it is fulfilling the will of God in His Spirit or character of Jesus. Because the word for Spirit here is referring to your human spirit, not the Holy Ghost. Wouldn't it be nice if all you had to do is be baptized in the Holy Ghost and then you're considered mature? You know, a lot of believers believe that. Because they have been baptized in the Holy Ghost and they speak with tongues, they're mature believers. That's not true, people. Here, it indicates, when it doesn't have the article, it indicates character and kind. So he's making a statement here in between what was said before and after. And what was said before and after is very interesting because if you study it before, it talks about having to deal with two different kinds of mind that is in play. The one mind is the mind of the flesh and the other one is the mind of the spirit. And so in order for me to really fully develop, I have to understand that all old things, I guess the best way to put old things, have got to pass away so that new things can come back into play. And so when we get born again, that literally means we now have entered into a completely different realm than we've never been in before. And it's called born from above. Actually, the translators use the word adoption. That's so sweet. But really, in the Greek, it's not adoption. It's literally meaning the placing of a son. It's talking about relationship. You know, it's very interesting. I read one of the most fantastic books on the gifts or fruit of the Spirit. And I got so mad because every word in there was the word relationship. People, you know what relationship is? It talked about this in this book beautifully, how to build relationship. Well, I understand that. But my Bible does not tell me that you add or build relationship without first understanding the fellowship of something. Right. You know, two people get married, boy and girl, and they enter into what I call a relationship. Right. And you know what causes that marriage to either be a success or a failure? Is not the relationship that has developed, it's the fellowship that has to go down the road of time for them. And that's where the marriage will either succeed or fail. Why? Because you've got to learn how to become one in your walk with each other. Isn't that neat? And I've learned something that's very interesting. That when I came into the kingdom of God, all the knowledge that I had in my soul came through my sensual mind. It did not come through a spiritual mind. It came through a sensual mind. But God's word doctrinally had to do something for me. And Romans chapter 5, chapter 6, and chapter 7 clarified what God did for you. He separated your outward man from your inward man and gave him his own identity. That is what we call, you are now placed as a son in the kingdom of God. And that circumcision that took place in your spirit. That's why in the natural, circumcision means the cutting away of flesh. It doesn't mean the cutting away of a man's spirit. It means the cutting away of his flesh. Meaning that God, it causing you to become a son and placing you into his kingdom, he had to do something for you. He had to clearly put a place in your life called justified before God before he could place you as a son. How many of you are following what I'm saying? I don't want to go flying over your heads. But he had to place you as a son. Now, what father would not want his son to grow up properly? Right. You know, we have children today. And we as parents, we need to be careful that we don't get so busy in our life that we don't pay attention to the children that become one flesh as a result of our relationship. So we have to look into the little personalities and work with them. How many of you parents know that's a job in itself? And we should not be so busy that we can't pay attention to their little personalities and work with them. Now, I didn't have the privilege with my own children to do that, except for Lindsay. As she grew up, I changed my concept with her that I didn't have with my son and my daughter Rebecca, because I couldn't get off the off start with them to begin with, because I myself was out of fellowship with God. But when I took on a new nature in Christ Jesus, I began to realize the first concern God has for me in order to hear his voice is that I have got to be brought to maturity to clarify it. If you only have one part to this particular verse, I'm going to tell you something. I like what one man wrote here, and I agree with this. He said, some believers are in obedience to the voice of God, and that they willingly obey his will as it is revealed to them, yet they obey him in the wrong spirit. I know that I have, by the Spirit of God, God told me to do things and I done it. And I look back in the past and seen the result of it. It wasn't that God didn't want me to do what I did. I did what I did, but the results of it came back because I did it in the wrong spirit. And so when he's saying this in Romans 8:14, he's talking about God wants you to have the spirit of his character, his nature in your spirit, so that when you hear his voice, that right spirit moves you to do what you need to do, not the wrong spirit. The reason that whenever God speaks to their hearts, they are being called upon to carry out his will. And this is how they think. His will, whatever the cost. Then they justify their actions and arrogant and wrong attitudes by saying, God told me to do it. And thus they carry out God's will in the wrong spirit, even though the right spirit prompted them. Come on, everybody, say, oh me. Because we've all done it. We've all been able to hear the word of God. I've learned one thing in my ministry. Concerning you guys, I have to be led of the Spirit of God what to give you. And it better be something that causes you to grow. If it's going to cause me to grow, it'll cause you to grow. Remember, I told you, 18 years of this ministry, Jesus was my Savior. Until one day he got a hold of me and said, when am I going to be your Lord? That caught my attention. And I have some scripture that I want to share with you about this relationship thing. In Romans chapter 4, verse 25, let's go there. Well, let's go to verse 21. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was also able to do. And therefore, it was accounted to him for righteousness. He's talking about Abraham, who spoke to God, and God spoke to him. Abraham served God face to face. Now, notice this. Now, it was written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but also for us. It shall be imputed to us who believe in him who raised up Jesus from our Lord from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised through the justification of us. That means he couldn't come out of the grave until we were justified. And so the writer, which is Paul, is telling us the first thing God had to do is he had to place you and I as a son in his kingdom and declare us justified in that relationship, and we become family. Hello? And right away, when you become family, the first thing you've got to realize is now God wants to raise you properly as his son. Right. Now, women are included in this. Yeah. Mankind. And so I learned halfway through all these cassette tapes listening to, at that time I only had two that I listened to, Kenneth Hagin and Kenneth Copeland. Those were the two major ones that God told me that I had to stay with them until I understood the complete message that they were bringing across before he would give me to anyone else. And boy, I thank God for that. Praise God. Because at that time there were a lot of distracting doctrines floating around that would have gotten me off course. But getting back to this concept of being placed as a son, the first thing that God wants us to realize is that you can't be brought to maturity until you have the ability to understand what comes out of your central mind, your way you think naturally, versus the way you need to rethink spiritually. Because your whole life is going to be totally different. And boy, I'm going to tell you, that's a real challenge when you're used to your central thinking, and then you come into the kingdom of God, and then you're challenged. And the very first challenge that you have as growing as a child of God is where? Where is your first area of growth as a child of God? Boy, I'm glad you guys know right way, right where we're going here. Let's go over to Galatians chapter 5. In Galatians chapter 5, I began to realize real quick, especially when I studied the area of the fruits of the Spirit. Oh my gosh. I'll never forget that. The first set of teaching on this came out of Kenneth Copeland's teaching on the gifts of the Spirit. Or the fruits of the Spirit. Not the gifts, but the fruits of the Spirit. And I want to be honest with you. I used to go down to Point Defiance Park and play them cassette tapes of what they had back then. And I'd play them. And I had a hard time dealing with those tapes. You want to know why? They were so contrary to my way of thinking that I was raised in, especially with people. And I got to a place where that's not normal. Of course it's not. You can't expect that. Now, what about this? So I would argue with those cassette tapes. And matter of fact, one of them I threw so hard in my car that I marked my dash with it. I was so mad at listening to them. And of course, God preserved the cassette tape for me to run over it again. And one thing he said I'll never forget out of the tape that I threw. I plugged that thing back in and I said, well, God, I'll listen to it again. And I hit that cassette tape. And here's what he said. He said, you as a believer have got to realize that the fruit and the flowers do not grow on the mountaintops. They grow in the valleys. I didn't want to hear that. I wanted to hear, the joy of the Lord is my strength. But I didn't know what it meant to have the joy of the Lord, because in order for you to exercise the fruit of the joy of the Lord is because you're in a situation, you're in an environment that doesn't really create much joy. I begin to realize, in order for these fruits to grow in me, and when I caught what he was saying, I said, that's it, I got to make a switch within myself. Matter of fact, when I got through with them, I went back to my own Bible, and God added validity to what he had already told me. And here's what he told me in Galatians chapter 5. For all law, not just the Ten Commandments here, all law is fulfilled in one word, in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. All right? But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. He's talking about two snakes that are so at war with each other, they start consuming each other. That's pretty crazy. Then he says, I say then, walk in spirit. It doesn't have the article there. Walk in the character. What character? Well, when you got born again and you placed into the kingdom of God, did you know that God seated his entire nature in your spirit? He didn't seat it in your flesh. He seated it in your spirit in seed form. And you know what causes that seed form to take full shape? The complete picture that is in the seed has to harvest itself, not in your spirit, but also in your natural mind. It has to subdue it. And when I was thinking about that, then I understood what the Apostle Paul was plainly stating when he said God's desire that the individual characters of his children undergo a transformational process and become identical with the character of Jesus. And God told me, you cannot love the Lord God with your whole heart, mind, body, and soul and not love yourself. And if you learn to love yourself, you'll love your neighbor as well. Co-equally. Boy, that's a job. You want to know why? Because as you grow in the Lord and become so dedicated to him, in order for you to do that, you got to demote yourself. And the nature to sin is all self-centeredness. But the closer you get to the love of God, the more you realize it's sacrificial. You have to give something away of yourself. You want peace? I can tell you, there's only one way you're going to get peace. And that is learning to get control of the situation of a chaotic affair that you might be in. You'll still gain control of wanting to be at peace no matter what goes on around you. Because when you stay at peace, you are in a condition to where you can help somebody else. I'll never forget the Archgo volumes. The priest asks Mary how Jesus responded when family arguments came up. And she said, you know, he was very strange and different towards his brothers. He always seemed to have a word that was so fitting that when he spoke it, it calmed everybody down. It just seemed that conflict just left. Well, Jesus was walking in the full nature of God. And that's why he tells us in Galatians chapter 5 what it really means to be conformed into his character and nature. And that is to develop the nature that he put in you. You know, 1 John says, here's how your fellowship works, bonds you together. Here's how it works. You ready? By the Holy Spirit working in your human spirit, changing you. That inward anointing works better than the outward anointing. And God has given you all that anointing inwardly. Isn't that interesting? And so what he says here, for whom he did foreknow, this is in 8:29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. He's talking about when you get the baptism of the Holy Spirit, God begins to work in your heart to be conformed into his character and nature so that you are witnessing to a dying world what your heavenly Father is all about that was not revealed in the Old Testament. Now, he says here, I say then, walk in spirit, and you shall not fulfill, bring to completion the lust of the flesh. The word walk here is a Greek word, peripeto, and it is literally referring to something that is personally working in you for change. It means if you walk in spirit, you shall not fulfill or bring to completion the lust of the flesh. The word peripetos literally means continually walking around something. And it finally dawned me what I'm continually walking around is what God did to place me as a son in his kingdom with his life and his nature in me. Sure feeling the presence of God on me. And so the Lord showed me, peripeto means you're walking around what God has made you in him. Now, when you do that, guess what? He says, when you do that, he says, you got to realize one thing that begins to take a battle in you. Are you ready? For the flesh desires against the spirit. And the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another so that you do not do the things that you desire to do. And guess what? It says, if you walk in spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh because the lust of the flesh is constantly again. And Jesus said very plainly to the Pharisees and Sadducees, a house that is divided against itself can't stand. Glory to God. You know why the Pharisees and Sadducees hated Jesus preaching? Because he spoke with one having authority. He knew what he was saying. He didn't care what the Pharisees and Sadducees thought. They had the wrong spirit. And so peripetos is referring directly to a personal walk that you have to deal with yourself. Now that would be real easy if it was dealing with just herself. But I found that there ain't no such animal on planet Earth. No one lives to himself. When you're placed as a son into the kingdom, now God's got to reshape you as his child so that you can what? Walk with others. It's really, you know, that independent thinking is really stinks. Because if you and God are tight, then everybody else has to come into your realm because of where you and God are. That would be nice, but that is not Christianity. That's not reality. God changes you so that you can, what? Give yourself to those around you. The problem is the opposition. When you run into people, you run into valleys. Wouldn't it be nice to run into people that believe just like you? That talk just like you? Guess what? Birds of a feather do flock together. Then that is your fellowship. But you take you out of that environment where everybody's in agreement with you and put you in an environment that doesn't agree with you, watch the conflict come about. You want to know why? Because there has to be a change in you so that you cannot just fit one environment, but you can fit in every environment. That's why in Romans 8, if you go on and read from verse 14, not only does it say that he had planned that those who would receive him be conformed into his image, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. He goes on and tells you very clearly what he had done on the inside of you to give you spiritual identity so the Holy Spirit can work with your human spirit and get you to a place where you're neutralized in your natural life. You're freed from it because once you have the Holy Spirit working in your spirit, then all things will work to your good. Those who love God. Not just because you go and do anything you want to and all things will work together for your good. That don't happen, Jack. Somebody said, well, how do you know? My first friend. So, he says, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh are evident, and he lists all the works of the flesh. But notice when he comes down to that, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness or gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. What does that mean? It means that when you start getting changed into the nature and character of Jesus Christ, you no longer put yourself under law, but your family, your friends, your church, you no longer put them under law. You know, when you put somebody under law, you're telling them to be conformed to your law. And that's why it says, if you live by the law, then realize you're a judge of it. You know why he gave the Ten Commandments? For those who had not had his life and nature in him. You know why he didn't give us the Ten Commandments? Because he put a new life and nature on the inside of us that the Holy Spirit can cause us now, apart from the law, being changed into his life and character and nature without law. That's why Jesus had to manifest. Because he changed us into Christ's image. Now, but the fruit of the Spirit, against such there is no law. Why? Here's why. And those who are Christ's have crucified, what? Have crucified, what? Have crucified with its passions and desires. Right away, you know what hit my mind? Romans 7:4-5. Hold your place right here and go to Romans 7, 4 and 5. In Romans 7, 4 and 5, notice this. Therefore, my brethren, you also have become dead to the law through the body of Christ, that you might be married to another, even to him who was raised from the dead, that we should bear fruit to God. You know, that's a religious... I hate the way they interpreted this verse. I hate it. Because it was interpreted to a religious mind. Here's what it says in the Greek. The way God preserved it. Therefore, my brethren, you also were put to death through the body of Christ. Where did that happen, people? Where in Galatians chapter 5, verse 24, it says, have crucified the flesh. You were put on the cross. Your outer man was crucified. Put to death. Now, what does he mean by that? It meant your sensual mind no longer has any authority over the Word of God that comes into your spirit. Now, watch this. Therefore, my brethren, you also were put to death to the law, through the body of Christ, that you might be married to... that you might belong to a different you. Why? Are you ready? That you should bear fruit to God, the things of the Spirit. That you should bear the things of the Spirit. For when we were in the flesh, he didn't talk about for when we were married. But when we were in the flesh, that's why you got to realize what relationship means. Relationship is something God gave you in His life and nature. And He commands you to be changed into it, into the image of it. And the only way you're changed into the image of it is that in order to bear that fruit, you have to crucify the outward man and the way he thinks about things. You know what? Our church got into the area of teaching through the Kenneth Hagin Ministries. And there was a span that really took place for quite a while. It was teaching. How many of you remember it? There was teaching, then a move of God was before that, and then it came in teaching. And God had to bring teaching in to get us all to grow up. Because the move of God wasn't doing it. People were getting healed. There was manifestations of the power of God and everything. But God knew that there was no glory being changed on the inward part of man. So he had to bring teaching in. And one of the things he had to do is give us his life and nature so that we would change. Why? We had a move of God. But those men that conducted the move of God, I got their CDs and I've been looking at it. They were hateful towards the church. The reason we're doing this is because you idiots don't believe. Well, God put up with that for so long. But he began to move on the body of Christ to get back into teaching. So something would take place on the inside of us to change towards our neighbor. There was people finding the love of God and the power of God, but they weren't finding a change in the way that they walked with people. And so he had to do something to get us born again and get us spiritual identity so that the change would first of all take place in us. And as a result of the change taking place in us, we then can walk with others. So, brings up a question. With its passions and desires, did you know in Romans chapter 5, verse 5, notice what it says, or Romans chapter 7, verse 5. With its passions and desires. Notice in 7:5. For when we were in the flesh and the passions of sins, actually passionate desires of sins, through the law operated in the members of us to bear fruit to death. I'm going to tell you something. when you develop the character of Christ in your spirit. Every person you come in contact, everything you touch, every person that you help brings them life. But if the character and nature of God is not developed in you, that everything you touch, even though you can hear His voice, everything you touch will create death and separation. It won't create life. And that's my heart cry for this ministry. Is that we want to enjoy a move of God, but I'm going to tell you something. We also need to prepare ourselves for what a move of God is all about. And that is the reaching out to a community. Where the church is not just doing bizarre things, but the church has purpose for what it's doing. Now look at this. If we live in spirit, let us also walk in spirit. And when I saw that in the Greek, I was shocked. It is not the word peripatos. It's not referring to a personal walk around what God has made you. This word for walk is stokeo. It's a different word for word walk. And here's the word. It's stokeo, which literally means to walk in line in relation to others. So when God can get you to not only understand what He's done to love you, but He will begin to work in your heart so that you can love someone else. And you know something, people? Thank God it was Him that loved us first. Because without us loving Him, without Him loving us first, we would have no way of conforming in His love towards others. Did you guys get something here? It's important. It's important. Character formation is very important. And then, you know something, when you begin to develop in character, oh man, you enjoy all what God has to offer. Now, John 16:33 says, be of good cheer. Be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. You know what that means? It means if we grow up in Him, we also can have His inheritance to overcome the world with. You know, the word gentleness, or the word peace, you know, all these fruits, do you know what they're developed? Well, how they're developed? They're developed, like Kenneth Copeland said, in the valleys. You know, when you have joy, is when you're around people that don't bring it. You know, when you don't have peace is when you're in a chaotic environment where you have to decide to have peace in spite of what's going on around you. That's the valley. Do you want to know what kindness means? It means when somebody treats you real nice, you can be kind to them. No, when somebody treats you rotten, doesn't keep their word, you're still committed to be kind. I want to slap the peanut butter and jelly right out of it. And God says to me, turn the other cheek. Me? I want to slap you. Do you know what self-control is? It means when somebody puts you in a favorable position where you can have control of yourself, such as jail. He's telling me he met a lot of self-control believers in jail. They got in jail and they were the most dedicated to God you could find, but you let them out on the street, banana wacky again. Now you tell me these fruits of the Spirit here develop in you in favorable conditions. They will not. They will only develop in you when you have to make change within yourself in spite of them. What are we going to do about the marriages that are failing, failing, and failing? Do something about the fellowship, the fellowship, the fellowship. You know, when I found out that God made me a son, placed me as a son, I began to realize, thank God He created me as His child. Because if it was up to me to even be His son, I wouldn't make it. Father, I thank You for the Word of God today. Help us all, Lord. Help us to grow in our faith, not just with God, but, Father, with ourself and our neighbor. Cause Your character, Your image to be formed into us. Not out of convenience, Father, that's an impossible. Woe unto the world, for offenses will come. But, Father, teach us how to grow and be strong above it and not be moved by it. Father, You are the one who invented son placing. May we yield to You in growing in it. Father, I don't want a relationship by contract only, as the first three verses in Romans 7 says, but I want to be a son in Your kingdom because I belong to a different me now, to the one that has been raised from the dead so that I might walk in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter, which is law. Father, I give myself to You outside of law that I might be changed into the glory that You intended for us to be changed into. Father, You said when they read the Old Testament, a veil is upon their heart. But the New Testament, we look within ourselves and see the Spirit of Christ in us, the human spirit born from above. And we're changed from the glory of flesh to the glory of You. That's what we all want, Father, here today more than anything else, is to be changed into Your glory. And the only way we're going to know that is by how we draw close to God will cause us to draw close to our neighbor, because we have been clearly justified with You in ourself. And I thank You for that, Heavenly Father. I thank You for that. That is where all healing begins, mentally and physically, is to know that Your promises are so loved that we need to recognize them in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand up, everybody. Every eye closed, every head bowed. This morning, I want to pray for those that can look within themselves and know within themselves that there's some changes that need to be made in their life so they can bear that wonderful, glorious, precious fruit. And Father, I want to come into agreement and pray with them that Your Spirit will begin to work, that inward anointing will begin to work in their heart to conform to it and not by this world. You know what the Lord told me just now? He says, many of you have not even received physical healing because you have not been healed mentally. When you are mentally sound, your body then, even medical science can tell you, even your body becomes healthy. So if you're here this morning and you know that there is a fruit you've got to work on, And I'm just as guilty as you are. There's a fruit I got to work on. What is that fruit? Patience. Endurance. Long suffering. Those are the two that I got to work on. I don't know about you guys. I got to work on those two. So I stand before the Lord. The Lord's going to help me work on them. And so with that said, if your head is bowed and your eyes, if you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, you're left to yourself. And my Bible tells me it's not to man to know within himself what is right from what is wrong. He needs the Spirit of God to help him. And if you're here and you've never made Jesus your Lord, you can respond at the altar call. And if you're here and you know the fruit that you need to work on, feel free to come up and join me in making a commitment to Him that you'll work on that. And if you need physical healing, you guys know how to do it. You know how to get it. Then start with your mouth. That's how you release your faith for healing. So with that having been said, all of those that fit that, come on up here. Don't be ashamed. Come on up here. I'm up here with you as a witness. None of us are that perfect. If you confess me before men, now will I confess before my Heavenly Father. Hallelujah. Yes. Boy, there's going to be some changes here. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Gee, I look at all you people. I already have a witness. You're perfect. It's just some things on the inside of us that need changing. Isn't that right? But how many of you have a trait you know you need to work on? Is everybody up here for trait changes? Yes. Everybody? Wow. Well then, congregation, just join in with us right now. Hallelujah. Because you guys evidently got it all together there. But I'm up here with them, so I'm going to pray this prayer for me too. Is that all right? Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. Because the Word of God, when it speaks to us, we have to respond to it. And Father, we know that when our heart does not judge us, we have confidence towards you. And if we have confidence towards you, we know that whatever we ask, we receive from you. And Father, the only thing that stops us from receiving from you is us. And Father, every person up here is up here because they are acknowledging that there is definitely fruit that needs to be born in their life. And that's including me too, Father. And so, Father, as I go by and lay hands on every one of them and touch them, Father, I'm just lining my faith up with their faith. I'm coming into agreement the same thing that they're up here for, and that's character change. That's more important than anything else. Character change. Hallelujah. People, when we're doing that, it's not because we've been demoted. It's because it's necessary for us to move on. Move on. And you know what? Every one of them fruits of the Spirit really aggravate me. Because I know that I have to learn to master them before I can go on. Father, I thank you for these wonderful people. Let's all declare this before the Lord. Are you ready? Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
There's going to be change.
There's going to be change.
in us. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Go home.